Amen. Tony, thank you so much. Brother Sides, thank you so much. Amen. If you're thankful for that blood, can you say amen? Man, that was good. I will tell you something else. I appreciate those young people. It took them 30 hours to get here. Their plane was canceled. They spent the night at LAX in the airport. They went from LAX to Minneapolis and then here for the youth conference. And I will tell you, those young people are the real deal. I used to be the dean of students there. And those young people that you just heard sing are the real deal. And they love the Lord. And it is a great honor to be here. You know what I just thought about? I just thought if I could just start every day of my life with Dr. Barber quoting scripture, I'd be all the way into everything, man. You just start off with Dr. Barber quoting scripture, man. It's like I could handle anything and we can go anywhere. And I had to confess something. I just got to do this. So Dr. Barber calls me, I think, quite frequently. And wherever I am when he calls, I never answer. I never answer it. Brother Shetler, why? Because if I don't answer it, at the end, he'll pray for me. And on my phone right now, I have prayers from Dr. Barber that I have kept. So I'm never going to answer when you call. As long as you keep praying for me, man. I want to listen to those prayers for years, man. I really mean that, honestly. I just love it when he calls, and I will not answer the phone. All right. Take your Bibles, if you would, today. Oh, I got to talk to you about your pastor. I got to talk to you about your pastor. Now, let me tell you the key to leadership. The key to leadership is not what somebody does when they're there. The key to leadership that you can tell if you got a good leader is when the leader's gone and those under them handle things right. And I want to tell you something. I have always appreciated Pastor Gillen. And I mean that. Ever since he was a young guy and he was a youth pastor, I said, man, God's hand is on him. But I want to tell you something. I'm more impressed with him this weekend. Well, you didn't even see him this weekend. That's right. I saw the staff that's under him. And I'm going to tell you something. That staff put it together this weekend. There was a lot of things. Brother Tony, Brother Sides, they flat out put it together. Brother Bob, all of them put it together. But I'm going to tell you, to God be the glory. That is an indicator that your under shepherd is doing what he needs to be doing. And so I mean this. I'm leaving that I appreciate your pastor, who I never saw this weekend at all. I appreciate him even more. And man, when he gets back, you thank him for the job that he's doing. It's good to see Brother Weaver there too, man. Amen. I like coming to this place. This is a good place. Luke chapter 15. Take your Bibles. You say, Brother Shetler, Luke chapter 15. That's the lost and found chapter in the Bible. Yes, ma'am, that is. Yes, sir, that is. Brother Shelley, you're going to talk about the prodigal son today? Yep, I am. Well, Brother Shelley, let me just tell you something. If you want to go sit down, you can, because I could get up and tell you about the prodigal son. I've heard about the prodigal son all my life. You know, I know this story really well. Brother Shelley, couldn't you have preached on Habakkuk? I did the last time I was here, by the way. I did. I preached on Habakkuk last time I was here. So, yeah, I could do that. But I want to tell you something about God's word. I want to take just a moment because I think this is really important, especially for a church like this, because I think you're not biblically illiterate here. I think you know the scriptures pretty well, but I want to tell you something about your Bible. I was a sophomore in college, and Monday morning in chapel, one of our instructors was speaking in chapel that day. His name was Dr. Mike Baer. Dr. Baer got up, took his Bible, and opened to Luke chapter 19. That morning, we heard a great message on Zacchaeus. I walked out of chapel that morning, and I said, wow, that was exactly what I needed today. That story about that little guy, Zacchaeus, Luke chapter 19, man, that was just what I needed to hear. Next day was Tuesday. Tuesday in chapel, our pastor, Pastor Bob Taylor, who I got to work under later on. But anyways, Pastor Taylor got up in chapel. And when he got up in chapel, he said, college students today, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 19. Well, there was a little bit of snickering, like, you know, enough for him to go, hey, what's going on? And somebody said, Pastor Taylor, you preaching on Zacchaeus today? And he said, well, yes, I am. Well, Dr. Baer preached on Zacchaeus yesterday. That day in chapel, I walked out of chapel. And I said, you know, Lord, that was exactly the message I needed to hear. I said, man, that really spoke to my heart. Wednesday, we didn't have chapel. Thursday, a missionary came. His name was Major Ron Brooks. And missionary Major Brooks came up. He came up to the pulpit in chapel. He said, college students today, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 19. Well, when he did that, the whole college erupted with laughter because we knew that he knew that we'd had two messages in a row. But you could tell within seconds that Major Brooks had no clue what was going on. One of the administrators on the platform leaned over and said, are you preaching on Zacchaeus today? And he said, well, yes, I am. He said, it'll be the third message this week on Zacchaeus. Worth Baptist Church, you hear this as long as I live. I don't ever want to forget this. I walked out of chapel that day, and I said, that was exactly the message I needed to hear. And I thought to myself, you know what? God's word is unlike any other book that has ever been written. And I don't care how many times you've ever heard the prodigal son. You haven't heard it today, and you haven't heard it from me. So you know what? We're going to look at Luke chapter 15, and we're going to look at the prodigal son, because I'm going to tell you something. God's word can change lives. No book like God's word. Take your Bibles with you, if you would, at Luke chapter 15, and we're going to pick up right with the story in verse number 16 with the prodigal son now have wasted. That's what the word prodigal means. It means to be wasted. He has wasted his substance. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? We're going to look at Luke chapter 15. I'm going to begin at verse number 16, and we'll read down to verse 24. And he, that would be the prodigal son, and he would fain. You know what that means? That means he desired. How do you desire this? And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. How do you get an appetite for that? And no man gave unto him. I believe this is the key to the whole parable. And when he came to himself, would you all say that phrase with me? And he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose, came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Amen. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Oh man, what a verse. For this my son was dead and is alive again. Amen. He was lost and is found. Amen. And they began to be merry. Father, I pray today that we would experience revival. And Lord, I do not know the exact definition of revival, but I don't know of a better description of what revival is than coming home to your Father. Lord, I don't know all the needs. I don't know all the problems. I don't know all the situations. And I don't know all the lives. I don't know hardly any life in this room. But Father, you do. And Lord, there are people that come every Sunday to Worth Baptist. They don't miss a Sunday school. They don't miss a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. And yet, Lord, spiritually, they're living in a far country. They are not where they ought to be. And oh God, they look good today. They look good every Sunday. We talk to them. They're married. Their spouse doesn't even know the far country that they're in. Dear God, I pray today that we would have some folks who are regular attenders at Worth Baptist come back from the far spiritual country that they find themselves in today, and they'd come back to the Father. Lord, I don't know, someone may be visiting today, and Lord, they're in a far country. They haven't been living what, and everyone knows about them. Lord, I pray they'd come back to the Father today. And then, Father, if there's somebody that's not a part of the family yet, if there's someone that can't come back to the Father because you're not their Father yet, may today they receive Jesus the Son so they can get into the family. So, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name today that you would take Luke 15, a story that the majority of us in here have known all of our spiritual lives, and Lord, afresh and new today, speak to our hearts. And if we've developed an appetite for the husk of the world, may today, God, we want an appetite and get hungry for you. God, speak to hearts today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's children said, amen. You may be seated. So it is the lost and found chapter in the Bible. There are three items that are lost. There is a lost sheep, there's a lost coin, and there's a lost son. Now the lost sheep got lost naturally. Now I'll tell you, when God created animals, he gave them that thing called instinct. And almost every animal that God created, he built inside of that animal a GPS system. I mean, you take a dog, you take a cat, you can take a cat 500 miles away, and I would suggest that's what you should do with cats, but you take a cat 500 miles away and you leave it, and you know what? That cat's got a GPS. That cat will figure out how to, I don't know how it does that. God gave him that GPS. But there is one animal that God did not give a GPS to. That's a sheep. You take a sheep out in the field and you leave them, they have no clue what's going on. That sheep will never find its way back. Sheep naturally get lost. I think that's why God says in his word, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Hey, listen to me. You just leave man to himself, he'll get lost. No way will any person ever come to God and find God on their own. If you don't have the shepherd of the heart, you don't have the Holy Spirit working in your life, you are never coming to God. Your very nature is to be lost, and your very nature is to get lost. The sheep got lost naturally. Now the coin got lost carelessly. That lady, man, she had these precious silver coins, and she's counting her coins one day, and she's missing one. Where did I leave that? Where is that coin? Where did I put that coin? I don't know where that coin is. And she tears that house up looking for that coin. She lost that coin carelessly. I got to tell you what, I'm 65, almost 66 in another couple weeks. And I've been saved for over 50 years. And I'm standing here to tell you, I've been in ministry almost the entire time, but I'm going to tell you this. There have been times that I have been careless with my spiritual life. There are times that I'm careless. I'm not vigilant. I'm not alert. And I'm not awake. And you know what? If you are careless with your spiritual diligence, you're going to get lost. You're going to be in a place that you should not be. The sheep got lost naturally. The coin got lost carelessly. And the son got lost willfully. That son made willful decisions. That son made decisions that took him on the wrong way. And I want to tell you something. Some of you are making willful decisions against God. There's people in this room, I don't know who you are, but you are making decisions that's taking you away from God. But let me tell you about all three of those. Even though there was a different reason why they got lost, there's some things about them. Number one, they all got found. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that the story was, and she never found the coin, and he never got the sheep, and the boy never came back. I'm glad they all got found, amen? We have a God who finds people, God finds things. Man, I praise the Lord for that. Number two, and you need to hear this, all three of those, sheep, coin, son, all three had value. They all had value. That shepherd says, okay, all you sheep, you get all in the fold, and I'm locking you in there. You guys are going to be okay. I got to go get that one little lamb. Why are you going, hey, shepherd, why are you going after that lamb? That lamb has value to me. That lady tears that house up, does white glove. That lady completely cleans that. Ma'am, why are you doing that? I got to find that coin. Why? Because it has value. And I'm telling you, every day that guy, that father went out on that porch and he looked out and he's looking for that son to come back. Why? Because that son has value. And Worth Baptist, I want to tell you today, every one of you in these seats has value to God. Everyone. Hey, you know what? They're over there speaking to those children. Do you know that every one of those children have value to God? I just want you to know. And I say this so delicately. I hope I handle this right. There's a lot of people at Worth Baptist that have some special needs. Do you know that every person at Worth Baptist has value? Matter of fact, I know you probably named the church Worth Baptist because you were in Fort Worth, but I love Worth Baptist. You know what I just think of? Everyone's got worth. You all got value. They all had value. They were all found. And you know what I love about all three stories? There was a party at the end of every one when they were found. I love that. You read all three stories, when the sheep was found, when the coin was found, and when the son was found, there was a big party. There was rejoicing. And I want to tell you this is a lie of the devil. Man, if I get right with God today, and I get right with my spouse, I get right with my family today, man, it's going to be terrible. Man, if I really came clean and I really got right, it's going to be terrible. Man, what the church is going to think of me, I'm not what I've been trying to present. And man, if I got right, I got revival in my heart, man, it would be terrible. That is a lie. Tell you right now, you're in a church that if you get right with God today, there will be rejoicing. You got a spouse who's been praying for you for years. You think he doesn't know? You think she doesn't know that you're in the wrong place? You get right today and there will be rejoicing. I think a lot of times people never get right with God because they're afraid, boy, if I get right with God, it's just going to be a mess. No, you get right with God, there's going to be rejoicing. And by the way, even if there wasn't rejoicing with man, there will be rejoicing in heaven for one lost sinner to return. So there's two questions, and I know we got to get going here. But there's two revival questions I think I find in this passage. Number one, why did the son go home? Why did the son go home? Because, by the way, verse 16, it said, would fain. He desired the husk of, that just amazes me. But you can get an appetite for anything. Matter of fact, that's going to be my first point. So listen to this. Why did the son come home? I think we would all agree the proper textbook answer to that is found in verse 17. Well, the reason why he came home, Brother Shetler, is he came to himself. And when he came to himself, he went home to the Father. Now, you have to admit, that is a very unusual statement. How does somebody come to themselves? You know, you're walking down the road one day and go, hey, well, looky who it is. Jim Shetler, how you doing? Hey, Jim Shetler, hey man, we're coming to ourselves. What does that mean? He came to himself. Well, I don't know if I understand everything, but I know that there's three elements to coming to yourself. Number one, and boy, get this, you come to yourself when you get hungry for God. Now hear this. Nobody understands themselves right until they get the right view of God. Theology always precedes psychology. If you don't have the right view of God, you will never come to yourself. There is a world today that's trying to come to themselves, trying to figure themselves out, but they cannot because they haven't come to the Creator that they have. If you don't have the right view of God, you will never have the right view of yourself. He developed a hunger. Look. Look at the very end of verse 17. Help me out with this. And he says, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with everyone together? He got hungry. He got hungry. I've been in ministry 44 years. Nobody comes back to God until they get hungry for God. You got to get hungry for God. Now, some of you here at Worth Baptist have developed a different appetite. There is not a human being on planet Earth that ever tastes beer for the first time and says, wow, that was delicious. No, I'm serious. Nobody ever puts alcohol in their mouth and go, is that tasty or what? It doesn't happen. Nobody drinks beer at first and say, wow, that is something I want some more of. No, you develop an appetite and a thirst for beer. It's rotten barley. You develop a thirst for that. You develop that. Now, let me tell you something. There's some of you that have developed an appetite for the things of this world. And I'll tell you, after you get saved, the first time you ate on that, you go like, man, that just ain't no good. But you kept on eating on it. And some of you have an appetite and a hunger for this world. You are never coming back to God until you get a hunger for God. When he got a hunger for, man, what am I doing in this pig pen? Man, my dad's servants eat better than this. I'm going back to the Father because I'm hungry. You get hungry for God. You got, God, I have lost my appetite for you. I love our church. I love our pastor. I love my Sunday school class. But you know, God, being honest, I've lost my hunger for you. Which leads us to the next point. You come to yourself when you get hungry for God. Number two, you come to yourself when you get honest with yourself. Look what he says. Look at the next verse. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, everyone together, next three words, I have sinned. Are we still together here? Let's try that again. We'll say unto him, Father, he got honest, didn't he? He got honest. Now, Dr. Barber's heard me preach several times. And there's a few other people in here that have heard me preach a few times. Let me tell you about Dr. Shetler's preaching. I do not tell jokes. I'm just no good at telling jokes. I got a lot of funny stories, but I just don't tell jokes. Whenever I tell a joke, it just does not go over. So I don't tell any more jokes. And my wife will tell you that Jim does not tell canned jokes, but I do have one joke. I got one, and you're getting it today. You're getting it today. So here's the joke. Dr. Barber, you ever heard me tell a joke before? Have you ever heard me tell a joke? You haven't. No, you haven't. I guarantee you haven't. And if you had, it wasn't funny anyhow. That was the key words. You're waiting for it. Here it comes. Here's my one joke. There was a clown in a circus. And the circus was not doing well at all. And the manager of the circus called the clown in and said, hey, we're relieving some people. We got to get some people. You saw the crowds. They're not coming. So I'm going to have to let you go. The clown says, no, you can't. You can't let me go. I got to have this job. I got a wife and the kids. Hey, I'm sorry. We just aren't having the people come anymore. We just don't need an extra clown. And so I got to let you go. No, I got to have this job. The manager looked over in the corner, and there was a gorilla outfit. And he said, well, we had to get rid of our our live gorilla this week because we can't afford to pay to feed him. But I'll tell you what, you think you'd be a good gorilla? Oh man, I'll be the best gorilla you ever had in your life. I'll be better than the real one. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a night. I'll give you a shot. Take that gorilla outfit, put that gorilla outfit, and you're the gorilla tonight. And if people like you and you act real, we'll see what happens. So that night, that clown gets in that gorilla outfit, and I am telling you, he is the gorilla of gorillas. He's like King Kong. I mean, he's just got the, everybody's just going like, wow, do you see that gorilla? That's amazing. Boy, next day, manager says, good job. He says, man, I'm telling you, I'm going to be the best gorilla you ever had. So every night, he's doing all these things, and the crowds are getting bigger. People are starting to come. Well, he gets into it one night, and he goes up the ladder as the gorilla. And he walks across the trapeze. He's walking, and these people are going crazy. They're going, look, they got a gorilla that gets trained to walk on a trapeze. And he's walking across the trapeze, and he falls. And that gorilla, that clown, falls right into the lion's den. And the lions start roaring, he's going to eat him. And he goes, and he freaks out. Man, he begins to take off his costume and he yells, help me, help me, help me. And the lions say, shut up or we're going to all lose our job. That's it. That's all I got, man. Hey, hey, Worth Baptist, Worth Baptist, we all look good today, don't we? We're all in our place. I'm here every week, Brother Scheller. Hey, you know what would be really cool here? Is if we took our costumes off and we got honest and we started sharing where we really are and then we struggle and then we got some things in our life, but we all come and we all got our little costumes on, we all got our little mask on. You know what? You'll never have revival in this church until you get honest. You get honest and you're ready to take the costumes off, God's gonna start working. You get hungry, he went back. You get honest, he went back. And number three, look at this. Boy, I like this. He got humble. Look at verse 19. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Man, he humbled himself. He just humbled himself. He got hungry. What am I doing in a pig pen? He got honest. I have sinned against God and against my father and my family. He got honest. He got hungry. And he humbled himself. Now, Brother Scheller, I hear this all the time. But what does that mean? I'm going to tell you exactly what it means. He took responsibility for his own life. That's humility. We live in a world today, nobody takes responsibility for anything. He took responsibility and then he fell totally reliant on his father. That is humility. You take responsibility for your life and you cry out to God for help. That is humility. Well, I'm going to get transparent with you. I come from a broken home and a pretty bad dysfunctional family. And I had a father that had a terrible temper and anger. And oh yeah, I got generational sin, man. I'm telling you, it went down with me. However, I was able to put the costume on during Bible college, and I was able to put the costume on and kind of know that you don't act this way, Bible college or whatever. And I married the greatest woman in the world. She's an MK. She's absolutely beautiful, and I get to marry Merrill Lee. And Merrill Lee and I traveled the first year as college representatives for PCC. And we're out there traveling, and we're pulling an Airstream travel trailer that we lived in. And there were some definitely good things that first year, but man, I'm telling you something. I'm getting ticked off right and left. Traffic, I don't like the propane gas, and this is happening. And I'm starting to get mad at Merrill Lee. And I just want to be very transparent with you. We're in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. We're at a large church in Christian school, and we're parked there for the night. And Merrily and I have a huge argument. And man, I'm yelling and I'm screaming. And I'll never forget that night, Merrily says to me, you know, Jim, all of our dating life, you always told me about your dad. your dad this, your dad this, your dad was a failure here, your dad was a drunkard, your dad ran around. You always told me about your dad, and you told me how bad a temper your dad has. Can I tell you something, Jim? You got your dad's temper, man. And then she said these words in Lebanon, Pennsylvania to me. She said, you know, Jim, if I knew you had this kind of anger, I would have never married you. When she said that, I blew up. I went out of that Airstream, I slammed that door, and I walked around that church in Christian school for over an hour. And I'm going to tell you, I said, God, the generational sin of the Shetler anger ends tonight. I take total responsibility. This is not Raymond Shetler's problem. This is Jim Shetler's problem. And dear God, I take responsibility for my anger. I need to stop blaming my dad for my attitude. I need to stop blaming my dad for my anger. And God, I take responsibility. But then I want to tell you, I cried out. I said, but God, I don't know how to do this. God, you got to help me. God, I can't fix this. Now, I went back, told Merrily everything, asked for forgiveness, took total responsibility. If you ask Merrily today, has your husband ever been upset since that night? She would say, of course he has. But I will tell you, Jim has never been the same man since that night. And I will tell you, I'm not saying my three boys are the greatest of anything, but you will not see anger in Ben, Luke, and Drew. And I want to tell you why. I took responsibility for the sin and ended generational sin right there. And I said, God, you got to help me. I cannot do this on my own. But dear God, I'm the problem. Now let me tell you this. You will never come back to the Father until you humble yourself. You get hungry for God. You get honest with God. And you humble yourself. And you say, God, this is not my spouse's. This is not my fellow worker's problem. This is not my neighbor's. This is not my relative's. This is my problem. And this is my sin. And God, the problem in my life is who I look in the mirror. And dear God, I'm hungry for you. I'm ready to get honest. And dear God, I humble myself and I ask. I'm telling you, he came to himself. And you come to yourself when you get hungry, when you get honest, and when you get humble. Now, the message is, I have a whole another point, and that is, how did the Father receive him? I just want to just tell you this really quickly, how that was done. This is so cool. So the Father, so he comes back to the Father, and all I want to do is just share this with you real quick. When the Father saw him come, the Father did not receive him as a servant. The Father received him as a son. When he started coming back, the Father didn't say, well, look who it is. Yeah, I thought probably needs more money. Well, he ain't getting it. I'm putting him under probation. He thinks, what does he think? What is he doing back here? That is not the way the Father received him. The Father did not receive him with caution. He received him with compassion. He did not receive him with regret. He received him with rejoicing. And I want to tell you something. He did not receive him as a servant. He said, son, come on back. Well, you know, Brother Jeff, that makes good preaching. But how do you know that? By the three gifts. Get the best robe. Get that robe we've been saving. Now listen, this is so cool. The robe is a robe of authority. It's a robe of position. Now listen to me. That boy was that father's son in the pig pen. Oh yeah. He never lost being his son. Once he was born into that family, he was always his son. Now, this is the most doctrinal point of this whole message, and you do have to hear this. This is, doctrinally, this is huge. God is not the father of mankind. He is not. God is the creator of mankind, but he is not the father of mankind. He is only your father when you receive his son. But as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. God is not a universal father. He is the universal creator. But he's only the father to those that receive his son. However, once you receive his son, you are in the family forever. You never lose that position. I'm telling you, while that boy's eating the food of the world, he is still the son of the father. Well, how do you know that? He got the robe of position. He never lost his position. Then the second thing, hey, go get the ring. Go get the ring. Ring is affection. My wife put this on me 42 years ago. You know why she put this on me? Because she loved me. And you study people giving rings in the Bible. Ahasuerus giving the ring to Mordecai. All of it is because of love and affection. Every time someone's putting a ring on somebody's finger, it's because they love them. He says, get the ring because I still love you, son. Get the robe because you haven't lost your position, son. And get the shoes. I like the shoes. See, slaves never wore shoes so they wouldn't run away. And the first thing that he notices, he said, by the way, I think when he's coming, the servants are, when the father says, that's my son. No, sir, I know you wish it was, but that's not your son. Look, he doesn't even have shoes on. No. That's my son. He's been away, but that's my son. Go get the robe, put the ring on his finger, and put shoes. Yeah, but you put shoes on your boy, he's going to run off again. Hey, let me tell you something. He's back. He's experienced love and forgiveness. He ain't running nowhere. You put shoes on his feet, you put the robe on him, and you put the ring on him because that's not a servant. That's my boy. That's my son. And I'm telling you something. You don't come back as a, well, God, I know I've done wrong. Man, what this guy's message today, man, I'm telling you, I'm a mess. Now, let me tell you something. You come back as a child of God. Now, if you have never received Christ, then the first thing you got to do is get in the family. It's not a matter of coming back to the Father. You're coming to the Father for the first time, and you're asking Christ to save you. But if you're here today, and you say, Brother Schaller, nobody in this room would know it, but I'm in a far country. I am not where, I have lost my hunger for God. And it has been so long. I wear a mask. I wear a mask with my family, my spouse, my parents, and it's time to take the mask off. And God, I take responsibility for my own life. Where I am is nobody's fault but mine. And I'm hungry, and I'm honest, and I'm humble, and I'm ready to come back to the Father. Hey, I want to tell you, I've heard the prodigal son, but you never heard the prodigal son today. And I believe there may be some people in here that are going, you know what? I'm hungry and I'm honest. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to trust God and I'm humbling myself and I'm coming back from that far country and I'm getting right with God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. So here's what we're going to do today. In just a moment, we're going to stand. The piano's going to play and I'm going to encourage you to do something. Are you ready to take the costume off? Are you ready for revival? We started this service by singing, Revive Us Again. Well, revival, I think, is coming home to the Father. And if you're ready to come home to the Father, if you're ready, are you hungry? Man, I just got to tell you, Brother Schaller, I have developed an appetite for the world. I got more of an appetite for basketball right now on TV than I do for God. I got more of an appetite right now for my job and making money. I got more of an appetite for my family than I do God. I have lost my appetite for God. And I'm going to be honest, there are things in my life that are not right. People in here don't even know anything about. and I am ready to humble myself, and I'm ready to come on home. Well, I'm telling you, he's there. He's waiting for you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you, man. He's waiting for you. Do you believe that? Because if you do, when that music plays, come on home. Come on down to an altar and say, dear God, I'm ready to come home. God, I want to hunger. I'm getting honest. I don't care who knows it. I don't care what this is going to turn up. I believe, God, there's going to be rejoicing because I'm coming home. Let's stand to our feet. Let's everybody stand to our feet. And as you stand to your feet, that music plays that first note. Don't worry about if anyone else comes home. You take that mask off and you get honest with God and say, dear God, I'm coming home to you. As the piano plays, you come right now. You come right now.